Good morning, everybody. Today, I'll be talking about our studies about activation and length of residual herbicides under furrow irrigation system for the control of Palmer amaranth.
On the bottom.
Right there, all right. All right, you guys have heard enough about Palmer amaranth in the last 2 days, so I won't talk much about this bad guy. We all know it's a problem, especially glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth. I do want to mention that it has very rapid growth, and it can grow up to 2 inches per day. And right now, we don't have very effective over-the-top options for the control of Palmer amaranth in Roundup-ready cotton because of evolution of resistance to glyphosate and ALS herbicides such as Staple and Invoke. Adding to the problem is Palmer amaranth emerges throughout growing season, and once it emerges because of its rapid growth, it is very hard to control. How do we control it? As Brent said, residual herbicides, and in all other talks, we are everybody is saying that residual herbicides are key to control the glyphosate-resistant Palmer amaranth. So yeah, we have to apply residual herbicides, but activation is needed to for the residual herbicide activity, and how they get activated by timely and adequate amount of rainfall or irrigation. So soil herbicide, active herbicides, most of these residual herbicides are only available when dissolved in soil water, and they do not work on dry soils. Why? Because of lack of uptake of herbicide by germinating and emerging weed seedlings. And some of those herbicides are can photodegrade and volatilize. So they need to be in the ground with adequate amount of moisture. More or less rainfall or irrigation will be bad for the activation. So we need adequate amount. And in previous studies, we have seen that 0.5 to 3 inches irrigation or rainfall was adequate, and with even up to 3 inches rainfall, there was no leaching of these residual herbicides, and they controlled weeds adequately. In Arkansas, most of the cotton acreage is under furrow irrigation system, but and we have adequate moisture for the activation of residual herbicides during the summertime. But what we have seen that the control of weeds is less on the top of beds compared to the furrows. As you can see here, there are less weeds in the furrows compared to on the beds. So we conducted studies to answer the following objectives. The first objective was to determine the activation and length of residual herbicides for Palmer amaranth control under furrow irrigation system. And second objective was to determine if Palmer amaranth control is different between furrows and on beds. So for that, studies were conducted at three locations with three different type of soils. First location was Kaiser, Arkansas, with clay soil. Second location was Mariana, Arkansas, with silt loam soil. And third location was Stoneville, Mississippi, with sandy loam soil. Experiments were conducted as a randomized complete block design with treatments arranged in 2x18 factorial. First factor was site, means bed versus furrow, Palmer amaranth control on bed versus furrow. And second factor was soil applied herbicides labeled for corn, cotton, and soybean. I will focus mainly on cotton herbicides today. There were 17 herbicides and a non-treated control. All those 17 herbicides were applied prior to Palmer amaranth emergence on bare ground with no crop, but with beds and furrows. And they were applied at field rates based on soil types. So out of those 17, we had 10 cotton herbicides, including Caprol, Cotoron, Dyrex, Dual Magnum, Invoke, Prowl, Reflex, Staple, Invoke, and Warrant. And among those, there were 11 corn herbicides and 6 soybean herbicides. Irrigation was applied immediately after the treatments and every week for the next 6 weeks. Palmer amaranth control was evaluated 2, 3, and 6 weeks after treatment, and data were pooled for years for each location, and NOVA was conducted in SAS, and means were separated using Fisher's protected LSD at 5% level of significance. A repeated measure analysis was also conducted to see the difference in Palmer amaranth control among different weeks, or to see the length of the residual activity of those herbicides. Moving on to results, I want to mention there was no interaction between a site and herbicide, so data are presented based on herbicides averaged over beds and furrows, and site-wise average over herbicides. So starting with herbicide-wise differences in Palmer amaranth control. First, let me set up this slide for you. On y-axis, we have Palmer amaranth control averaged over beds and furrows, and on x-axis, we have weeks after treatment. Here, this is the Palmer amaranth control at Kaiser with clay soil. Only one herbicide controlled Palmer amaranth 100% at 2 weeks after treatment, and all other herbicides except Staple and Invoke controlled Palmer amaranth greater than 90%. I know it's not adequate Palmer amaranth control when we have glyphosate resistant Palmer amaranth over there, but that's what we have, and we need to overlay the residual herbicides to control the escapes if we have any. By 3 weeks after treatment, we had similar control compared to the 2 weeks after treatment, but by 6 weeks, only three herbicides controlled Palmer amaranth similar to 2 weeks after treatment, including Callisto, Dual Magnum, and Sencor. Out of this, only Dual is the cotton herbicide. So I want to zoom in to the Palmer amaranth control at 6 weeks after treatment. Here in this graph, on the y-axis, you have herbicides, and on x-axis, Palmer amaranth control averaged over beds and furrows. Here you can see that 11 herbicides controlled Palmer amaranth greater than 90%, even 6 weeks after treatment. Out of those, five are cotton herbicides. Again, when I say this is not adequate control, and we need to overlay residual, because 90% is not enough, knowing that Palmer amaranth can add millions of seeds to the soil seed bank. And also I want to mention that these three herbicides didn't very good, Invoke and Staple, probably because we have ALS-resistant Palmer amaranth in Mid-South, and as Dr. Norsworthy mentioned, Prowl is not working for control of Palmer amaranth in Mid-South conditions. Moving on to Mariana, it's similar setup. Y-axis, Palmer amaranth control averaged over beds and furrows, and x-axis, we have weeks after treatment. None of the, and also here, Mariana, I want to mention the soil is silt loam. That is important. No herbicide controlled Palmer amaranth 100%. And there were more herbicides that did not control Palmer amaranth greater than 90%, even at 2 weeks after treatment, including Invoke, Prowl, Staple, Lodis, and Balance. So as mentioned, Invoke, Prowl, and Staple are not working in Mid-South. So by 3 weeks after treatment, these control with these herbicides was similar, but by 6 weeks after treatment, only one herbicide controlled Palmer amaranth similar to 2 weeks after treatment. Again, I will zoom in at 6 weeks after treatment. Now, instead of 11 at Kaiser, Arkansas, we have only three herbicides controlling Palmer amaranth greater than 90%. Why? Could be because of difference in soil water holding capacity. Previously in introduction, I said that water is necessary to activate residual herbicides, and so water holding capacity might be the culprit for less control here in Mariana. Again, Staple, Invoke, and Prowl among the with the least control of Palmer amaranth. Moving on to, and out of these three, two were the cotton herbicides. Moving on to the Stonewall, Mississippi, sandy loam soil, even worse control. It has least water holding capacity among all the three soil types, so no herbicide with 100% control, and only three herbicides with greater than 90% control at 2 weeks after treatment. So by 3 weeks and 6 weeks, you can see at 6 weeks, they're all the herbicide controlled, less than 80%. So we do need to overlay residual herbicides, and we need adequate moisture, and we cannot wait until 6 weeks. 2 to 3 weeks, 14 to 21 days is the limit you can the time you can take to overlay the residuals, not greater than that. And now moving on to the site-wise differences in Palmer amaranth control. The site-wise, I mean differences between beds and furrows. Let me set up this graph for you. On y-axis, we have weeks after treatment. On x-axis, we have Palmer amaranth control average over all the cotton, corn, and soybean herbicides. And red bars are Palmer amaranth control in furrows, and black bars are Palmer amaranth control on beds. Here at Kaiser, we saw some differences. You can see there is more Palmer amaranth control on in furrows compared to beds, but this difference is not biologically significant. It's hardly 1 to 2%, so I don't call it a big difference. Moving onto the Mariana, same setup of the graph, y-axis weeks after treatment, and here is Palmer amaranth control averaged over beds and furrows. No difference in Palmer amaranth control between beds and furrows. But when we move to Stonewall, Mississippi with sandy loam soil, this is what we get, big difference between beds and furrows, and you also see comparatively less control, Palmer amaranth control compared to the Kaiser and Mariana. So yeah, the difference increases. Again, water holding capacity of this sandy loam soil could be the reason for differences. There is not enough moisture held on the beds compared to in the furrows. So summarizing these studies, first, the Palmer amaranth control was maximum at Kaiser with the clay soil, maximum water holding capacity, and was minimum at Stonewall, Mississippi, sandy loam soil, minimum water holding capacity. No biological differences at Kaiser and Mariana, Arkansas, between beds and furrows, but yeah, there was the Palmer amaranth control in furrows was greater than greater in furrows compared to beds at Stonewall, Mississippi, where we have sandy loam soil. Although it don't make any sense, greater than 90% control is not a big thing. We want 100% control. We need to overlay residuals, but yeah, we got we have 11 herbicides out of 17, out of which 5 were cotton herbicides at Kaiser, providing greater than 90% control. At Mariana, we had 3 herbicides total and 2 cotton herbicides, and none at Stonewall, Mississippi by 6 weeks after treatment. And control with Envoke, Prowl, and Staple was least out of all the herbicides at each location. So concluding this talk, we have general recommendations for all of you. First, if you are in Mid-South, Palmer amaranth is the major weed. Avoid the use of Staple, Invoke, or Prowl. Instead, use some other, you can use other herbicides. Make a residual herbicide application every 14 to 21 days until crop canopy formation. Overlaying might take those escapes which were not controlled by single residual herbicide. And if you're still not able to control with this Palmer amaranth chemically, include mechanical and manual weeding techniques to prevent Palmer amaranth from setting seeds. With this, I would like to thank everybody, and we'll take any questions if you might have.
Have time for one quick one.
Yes, sir.
So you applied these herbicides pre after bed formation, so no mechanical incorporation in the soil?
The question is, did we incorporate these herbicides in soil? No, sir. We did apply them as pre.
All right. Thank you very much.